Good evening. Welcome to our midweek meeting. My name is Joshua Harrison from Little Hill Church in Wigston, and it's great to be able to have this time together, opening up God's Word and learning more about what it is to be a Christian. That's the series that we've been going through in our midweek meetings. What is a Christian? And this evening we're looking at a Christian being a soldier. But before we get into God's Word together, let's just stop and pray and ask for God's help and his blessing on all that we do this evening. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for our time together. We thank you that we can open up your word, and we pray that as we do that, as we read your truth this evening, that you would speak to us. We pray that you would give us teachable hearts and help us to have minds that are ready and able to understand. And we pray for the help of your Holy Spirit to apply all that we learn together this evening to our lives, that we might become more like the Lord Jesus Christ, more effective in our service for you and our worship, and a blessing to one another. Lord, help us, we pray, and guide us into truth, and do us good, we ask. Father, above all these things, we pray that you would be glorified in us, in your church, in all that we do and all that we say. So come and bless our time. Help us, help me as I speak, and each one of us as we listen, and that Christ might be lifted up and exalted. And we ask all this in his precious name. Amen. We're thinking about being a soldier. And in the first chapter of 1 Timothy, the Apostle Paul encourages Timothy to wage the good warfare. Perhaps that's where we get our hymn from, fight the good fight with all your might. But being a soldier is perhaps not the first thing that comes to mind when you think about being a Christian. And in recent years, certainly the last 100 years, our world has seen much war and devastation because of it. But as we look back in the Bible, particularly in the Old Testament, this was something that was very common to God's people. They had to fight as they entered into the promised land. We read of other battles. Think of that famous battle of David and the Philistine Goliath. Many of the Psalms talk about God defending the king from his enemies, or the king having to fight, or God's people having to fight. And so it's not an unusual theme in the Bible as we look back through the history of God's people. But maybe if we look back at secular history, the Crusades, and more recently things that have been called Holy War, maybe they're terms that make us recoil from the idea of being a soldier. And we don't want to be associated with those things, and rightly so. But we mustn't be afraid of what God's word says. What we must do is understand what it really says. Because God's word instructs us and teaches us, and God's word does refer to us as Christians, as soldiers. So that's what we're going to look at this evening, and to get a good and a right understanding of what God's word is teaching us about this important aspect of our lives as God's people. I have three simple points this evening, and the first one is this: who we are fighting. Who we are fighting. To understand what it is to be a soldier, we've got to know who our enemy is. And the first thing to say about this is that it's not a physical enemy. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, the apostle writes, though we walk in the flesh, we're not waging war according to the flesh. The warfare that we're involved in is not a physical battle or struggle. And when Paul writes to the Ephesians, those very famous verses that have perhaps come to your mind already, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Our enemy, the one that we are to fight, is a spiritual enemy. Paul goes on in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, that we wrestle against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And the Apostle Peter writes of our adversary, the devil. You see, our enemy is a spiritual enemy. It's not only our enemy is God's enemy. And this enmity, this struggle, this conflict goes back to right at the start of history, when Satan, who had fallen, comes and deceives Adam and Eve and causes them to doubt the truth of God's word, and they fall into sin. They eat the fruit, and sin and death and judgment comes into the world. And since then, those early chapters of Genesis, we see this conflict unfolding between God and Satan and the powers of darkness that seek to fight against God and his people. So our enemy is a spiritual enemy. But our enemy isn't only external. It's not only an external enemy. You see, sin is inside of us and it fights against us. In 1 Peter 2 verse 11, the apostle there writes that we are to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against our soul. And when we read Paul's letter to the Romans, especially in chapter 7, we read of his own conflict, his internal conflict with sin and the struggles and the battles. He wants to do the right thing, but he ends up doing the wrong thing. And he wants to be delivered from this body of death because of this war that's raging inside him as well. This war between what is right and good and Christ-like and Christ-honoring and what is evil, what remains of our fallen sinful nature while still here in the body. So this is who we are fighting against. We are fighting against Satan. We are fighting against evil, against this darkness, as God's word so often puts it. And it's important that we know who our enemy really is. Because if we don't know who our enemy is, well, what destruction we could cause as we seek to fight this spiritual battle. And when it comes to our enemy, we must know our enemy. We mustn't underestimate him. We make such a mistake when we think that he can't do things or he can't attack us. He's a powerful enemy. We mustn't underestimate him. But as well as that, we mustn't entertain him. You know, he's so easy. He's such a clever enemy. He comes in with his deceptions and his deceit and his guiles. And it can be so easy to trip up or fall foul of his snares. Think of the way he tempts the Lord Jesus Christ, even using scripture. And he can come as an angel of light. We must be so aware who our enemy is. And we would be foolish as well as entertaining him to pretend that he's not there. And what a mistake we make if we deny that we have an enemy altogether. God's word tells us to resist the devil, and we must. So the first point this evening, thinking of being soldiers, a Christian is a soldier, is to know our enemy. And our enemy is Satan, ultimately. But the second point that I want to make this evening is to look at four words that describe us as soldiers. Four words that describe us as soldiers. And the first word is this, that we are equipped. We are equipped. Again, Paul writing to the Corinthians in his first letter, he asks the question, he's speaking about supporting those in gospel work, but he asks this question, who serves as a soldier at his own expense? Has God called us to be soldiers, to fight this spiritual battle, to be engaged in this spiritual war and sort of just sending us off on our own? Have we got to kind of resource and equip ourselves for this fight and this struggle? Well, no, we haven't. And that's the point that Paul was making there, that God equips his people. And the weapons that we need are spiritual weapons because we're fighting a spiritual enemy. We would be wasting our time to stock up on tanks and bombs and guns. And that's not what we're to do at all, because our enemy is a spiritual enemy. Our weapons have to be spiritual weapons. And so in Paul's second letter, he writes about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. He says that the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but they have divine power to destroy strongholds. We are in need of spiritual weapons because we're fighting a spiritual enemy. And so the weapons that we fight with are not of the flesh, but instead they have the power to destroy strongholds. And that's what we need. And we can be confident that the weapons that God gives us are effective then. They have the power to destroy strongholds. And what is it that God has equipped us with? Well, where better to go than to Ephesians chapter 6 in verses 10 to 18. There the Apostle Paul gives us this picture of the Christian's armour, the whole armour of God. And let me just read what Paul says about that armour in Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then that necessary prayer that Paul speaks about, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Paul tells us that God has equipped us with a complete armour, the total armour, everything that we need. He's given us the belt of truth that we are to be surrounded with integrity. We have the breastplate of righteousness that we put on Christ. And we read elsewhere in scripture that we are given the righteousness of Christ. And so the breastplate that protects our vital organs is the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have our feet fitted with the gospel of peace, that wherever we go, we're taking this glorious message of the salvation that God offers in the Lord Jesus Christ. It goes everywhere our feet goes. So wherever we are ready to share that gospel message. We have the shield of faith. And you remember the Roman shields, almost the size of a door. The word used for shield is similar to the word used for door in the Greek, that it's a big shield. You can hide behind it. It was multi-layered and constructed well to stop arrows and darts and spears and swords. And Paul reminds us here that the devil will shoot flaming darts at us. Doubts and discouragements will fly at us, but the shield is enough to protect us. When we hide behind the promises of God and hold on to them by faith, those doubts, those discouragements, the deceit that he would try and trip us with cannot get to us. We have the helmet of salvation, that we are saved. The Lord Jesus Christ has saved us by his victory on the cross. And we are now his people. That helmet identifies us as well as protecting our head and shows us to be the people of God, the people of Christ. And as those blows come down from our enemy to kill us, those blows that would be fatal, our head is protected by the fact that we are saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have in our hands the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, God's truth. And that our attack as we go on the offensive, it's not with our wisdom, it's not with our ideas or our words, but it's God's truth, it's God's wisdom, it's God's ways that we take. It's God's message of hope, of salvation in Christ, that we fight our enemy back with, and our confidence in him and all that God has done for us in him. We fight with the sword of the Spirit, and it's an effective weapon because Satan cannot stand against it. As the Lord Jesus battled with Satan in the wilderness after his baptism, again and again he came back with the sword of the Spirit. It is written, it is written. And Satan had to flee from him, because that formidable weapon drives him back. When we hold the word of God and we go forward with it, well, that's the strength that we need. That's the weapon that we need to fight this spiritual battle. We are protected, we can be defended, and we can go on the offensive with the armor that God supplies us. We are equipped. And one Christian author has wrote this: to go into battle without the whole armor of God is as foolish as a soldier entering the front line dressed for a game of tennis. We would think that ridiculous. When God has so equipped us with what we need, why wouldn't we put it on? Why wouldn't we use it? We need every day to be prayerfully, as Paul encourages us, putting on the armor of God. We're equipped. But as well as that, another word to describe us is that we suffer. We suffer. In Paul's second letter to Timothy, chapter 2, verse 3, he tells Timothy, as he's about to die and he's sort of passing the baton on, share in the suffering as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That Timothy is to take his place in line, and he will be called to suffer for the Lord Jesus as he engages in this spiritual battle. And as we engage in the spiritual battle too, we're to expect to endure hardship like the Lord Jesus Christ did. We don't want to suffer. We wouldn't choose to suffer, but we should expect hardship, because our enemy, as Peter describes, is a roaring lion who is looking for someone to devour. We're against a tough enemy. He really doesn't like us. He hates us. And we should expect to suffer. And again, many scriptures that remind us of this, of sharing in the fellowship of his, that's the Lord Jesus, of his sufferings as we follow him. And here, as Paul is encouraging and exhorting Timothy, share in suffering as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. A good soldier expects to suffer. But thirdly, as soldiers, another word to describe us is this, that we are to be focused. We are to be focused. The next verse in 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul writes to Timothy, "No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him." Again, Peter in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, when he speaks about our adversary, the devil, the roaring lion, he warns God's people, he warns us that we're to be sober-minded, to be watchful. You see, we must stay alert and watch out for distractions and losing our focus. Paul is not saying that we're to have nothing to do with the world around us, but not to get tied up in what will pull us away or make us fall or distract us or take our eye off the enemy. When you enlist in the army and you're on that battlefield, you're not to be checking your social media kind of at that crucial moment in the battle, or taking your eye off the one who's leading the charge, or looking at what direction you're supposed to be following in. You're supposed to be going ahead, and that's not a criticism of social media there. But what distracts you? What keeps you from focusing and being watchful and vigilant? Because, do you know, our enemy doesn't go on furlough. He's not having a break. He doesn't stop for the weekend. Every day that we wake up and God gives us breath is a day that we're engaged in a spiritual battle. And because of that, as soldiers, we need to be focused. We need to be watchful. We need to be aware and alert. Think of what the Lord Jesus said to his disciples in that garden before his betrayal and arrest. What was his charge to them? Watch and pray. And how important that is for us to be those who are watching and those who are prayerful. We're to be focused and not to take our eye off of what is important. On the 25th of July, 1911, a man called Bobby Leach, he was from Cornwall, he shocked the world when he went over the Niagara Falls in a wooden barrel, and he survived without a scratch. But sometime later, he was walking down the street, not particularly looking where he was going, and he slipped on an orange peel and badly broke his leg. The irony is incredible, isn't it? But there's a very important truth in that for us. We need to be so careful, because it's often the small skirmishes that bring us down, not the major battle. We cannot afford not to be focused. We cannot afford not to be watchful, not to be vigilant, not to be careful, and not to be prayerful. A Christian soldier needs to be focused, not getting entangled in those things that would pull us away, or as the writer to the Hebrews says, being weighed down by sin and the things that so easily ensnare us. Are there things that you need to put down and put to one side? Things that are taking you away from what your focus needs to be? Well, we all need to search our hearts, don't we? And make sure that we are focused on what the Lord has called us to do. Yes, we have times when we enjoy leisure. Yes, there are times when it's right to relax and to slow down a little bit, but we must always be watchful. A good example is those men with Gideon. When they went to drink, those who stopped to have a drink, it was right that they were refreshed. But they knelt down and they scooped the water to their hands. Do you remember? Because they kept watchful, even when they were having a drink. We often find the times we're most vulnerable to the attacks of our enemy are when we take a break and when we stop and when we relax. And because we let our guard down, we mustn't let our guard down. We need to be focused. And the fourth word that describes us is together. Christian soldiers are equipped. They will suffer. They need to be focused, but they're together. In Philippians 2:25, and when Paul writes to Philemon, that letter, that small letter just before the letter to the Hebrews, he writes to his fellow soldiers. And believers are not alone in this struggle. And that's a great comfort to us, isn't it? Knowing that we're not the only soldier fighting in this spiritual battle. We stand together. We stand shoulder to shoulder. We support one another. We at times hold each other up and lift each other up again and stand against the enemy together. We stand together against a common enemy. And this gives us encouragement, and the fellowship of God's people together is such a blessing, isn't it? As we share in the trials of what we go through, but also sharing in the triumphs as well. And we can encourage one another in these things. Four words that describe us as Christian soldiers: equipped, that we have all that we need, that we will suffer as we share in this struggle as good soldiers, that we need to stay focused as God's people and not take our eye off our enemy and the conflict, but that we are not alone in this struggle. And this brings us to the third point, which is where we will finish in a few minutes' time. Three ways to stand as a soldier. Three ways to stand. We've seen that we need to know who we're fighting. We've seen those four words that describe us. And thirdly, three ways to stand. We have a captain to stand with. A captain to stand with. In Hebrews chapter 10, there's a lovely description, I think, in the King James Version of the Bible that speaks of Christ as the captain of our salvation. You see, we're not only together with each other as Christians, but we are together with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's the one who's conquered death. He's the one who has crushed our enemy when he died and he rose again. Satan was defeated and Christ won the victory. And his victory he shares with us. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And as well as giving us the victory, as he fights alongside us, he knows firsthand of the struggle. He knows what it is to suffer. And it's so wonderful to have one at the head of his people who is not afraid to go into the conflict. He doesn't tell us from the back, go. He stands at the front and says to us, come. And that is such a wonderful encouragement as we fight in this spiritual battle, that Christ is at the head of his people and that he goes into the thickest and the most fiercest part of the fight. And he has won the victory for us. We have a captain to stand with. But as well as that, we have a banner to stand under. Do you know, in centuries gone by, as the soldiers would have gone into battle, at the front of each regiment, they would have had their standard, their flag. And on their flags, they would have the battle honours to remind them of the times they'd gone into battle and they had won and been victorious. And this would inspire them. Well, we have a banner to stand under as well. And the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ is our battle flag. When Paul writes to the Corinthians in the first chapter of his first letter, he speaks of Jesus Christ and him crucified as being the heart of the message we proclaim. The cross of Christ and Jesus crucified on it is our flag, as it were. It's what we look to. It's what inspires us and gives us hope and confidence as we face our spiritual enemy and as we continue following Jesus as soldiers. And our flag, it seems foolish and weak to those who are around us. Paul speaks of the gospel being perceived by the Jews and the Greeks as being weak and foolish. But to those who are being called, he writes, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Do you know, the cross of Christ is a banner that waves across languages. It stands tall across cultures and ethnicities. It crosses generations and ages and peoples and boundaries and unites us as the people of God from whatever part of history we're from or whatever part of the world or whatever language we speak. We have a banner to stand under. And our Lord Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection, is that inspiring confidence that we have that Christ has won the victory. He's died and risen again. He's beaten death. And as we look at that moment, as we see that flag waving, we're inspired, we're encouraged, we're helped, we're confident as we go into this conflict and standing against our spiritual enemy. We have a captain to stand with. We have a banner to stand under. And we have a day to stand until. Again, back to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, Paul writes, having done all, stand firm. Having done all, stand firm. Having put on the armour of God, having faced our spiritual foe, having fought hard in that battle, we are still to stand firm. And we can. Because if God is for us, who can be against us? Who could stand against us? When God is for us. We sing that modern hymn, don't we, that has this line in the end, till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand. Do you know, you might be facing a spiritual struggle right now. You might feel that you are in the thick of the battle. But you know, you have Christ with you. You are clothed and equipped with the armour of God that God has provided for you. You have all that you need. You have your brothers and sisters around you who stand with you in this struggle. You are not on your own. And we can trust what God has given us, that having done all, we will still stand. God is faithful. He won't retreat and run away from us as we fight in this battle. He won't leave us on our own. And let me finish with a quote from George Whitefield. He says this: if we would therefore behave like good soldiers of Jesus Christ, we must be always upon our guard and never pretend to lay down our spiritual weapons of prayer and watching till our warfare is accomplished. What is a Christian? A Christian is a soldier engaged in a spiritual battle against a spiritual enemy. A Christian is equipped. They will suffer, but they must be focused and they stand together. They have a captain to stand with, a banner to stand under, a day to stand until. And thinking of bringing all of this together, the one thing we must not ever forget is this, that the battle is the Lord's. And how many times when we look in Scripture, Old and New Testament, we see him, the one who is victorious. We share in that victory in Christ, and he will not fail us and let us down. So be encouraged as a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is a Christian? A Christian is a soldier. Well, let me encourage you to join in the prayer meeting. If you're from Little Hill Church, you'll have the link coming out for joining in that prayer meeting after our Bible study together this evening. But as we finish now, let's just pray and end our time together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that there is so much it teaches us about how you've prepared us and equipped us for this spiritual battle. Thank you that we're not on our own, that Christ is with his people in the struggle, that we have the Holy Spirit with us to guard us and guide us and keep us. Father, help us to be faithful. Help us not to shy away. We don't like conflict in that sense. And we wouldn't choose to suffer, but our God in heaven, you have called us to this. And so help us to be watchful. Help us to be prayerful. Help us each day to put on the armour of God, that we might be ready and equipped. And having done all, that we would still stand firm. Thank you for the victory we have in Christ. Thank you that the battle is the Lord's. And as we press on until that day when he returns or calls us home, may it be that we stand in his power and not in our own strength. We give you glory and thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.